Romans chapter 9. Sermons by Paul Sejong. Sermon 4. God saved with fair mercy. Romans chapter 9. Verses 6 through 26. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But, in Isaac your seed shall be called, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God, beloved saints. Today we want to share God's grace through the word from Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 26, under the title, God Saved with Fair Mercy. Romans chapter 9 speaks about how God pitied people and saved them. This word seems like a word about predestination and election, but at its center is God's mercy. It is the word that God pities whom he will pity, and shows mercy to whom he will show mercy. However, we must not misunderstand this word. It does not mean that God loved someone and hated someone without any reason. It also does not mean that God decided to send someone to heaven and someone to hell regardless of the salvation of Jesus Christ. God opened the way of mercy fairly to all people. That mercy is in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth, took charge of all the sins of the world, by by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and gave us new life by resurrecting. The one who believes this mercy of God receives salvation. The children of the flesh are not the children of God. The main text says, "They are not all Israel who are of Israel." Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Just because they are the nation of Israel does not mean they are all spiritual Israel. Just because they are fleshly descendants of Abraham does not mean they are all children of God. Abraham had Ishmael and also had Isaac. Both were children of Abraham, by the flesh. However, God said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." Romans chapter 9, verse 7. Why is that so? It is because Isaac was a child born by God's word of promise. Ishmael was a child obtained by human thought and fleshly method. But Isaac was a child born according to the word God promised. This has an important meaning for us today as well. Just because one goes to church does not mean one is a child of God. Just because one says with the mouth that one believes in Jesus does not mean one is a child of God. The person who received the removal of sin by believing God's word of promise, that is, the gospel of the water and the Spirit, is a child of God. A child of God does not become so by bloodline or religious name. A person born again by God's word is a child of God. A person whose sin disappeared in the heart by believing the word that Jesus took charge of all my sins through the baptism he received from John and received the judgment of those sins on the cross is a child of God. The children of promise are counted as the seed. God said, "The children of the flesh." These are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Romans chapter 9, verse 8. Who are the children of promise? It is the ones who believe God's word. It is the ones who accept the promise God made exactly as it is. It is the ones who believe the salvation God accomplished in Jesus Christ. We were not originally God's people. We were Gentiles. Did not know God. And were those who lived in sin. However, God said, "I will call them my people, who were not my people." And her beloved, who was not beloved. Romans chapter 9, verse 25. God pitied us, who were originally not God's people, and called us children of God. This is not because of our deeds. It is not because we are good, nor because we did religious life well. It is because of the mercy God bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. Because we believed that mercy, we became children of God. God bestows mercy on a person like Jacob. In the main text, the story of Jacob and Esau comes out. When Rebekah conceived twins by one man, Isaac, when they were not yet born, nor had done any good or evil, God said, "The older shall serve the younger." Also, he said, "Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." This word does not mean that God loved Jacob and hated Esau without any reason. What God saw was not human fleshly conditions. Esau was a fleshly strong person. He was a person who believed his own strength. However, Jacob was a lacking person. He was weak, servile, and a person who could not receive blessing by his own strength. Whom does God call? He does not call the one who believes his own strength and says he is excellent. He calls the one who confesses, "I am lacking. I am a sinner. I cannot live without God's mercy." Jesus also said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, also." He said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." God loves a person like Jacob, a person who knows his own lacking and seeks God's mercy. A person who boasts of his own strength like Esau and considers God's mercy unnecessary cannot receive God's grace. Is there unrighteousness with God? It cannot be. The main text asks, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God?" It cannot be. Romans chapter 9, verse 14. There is no unrighteousness with God. God is fair. Because God bestowed the love of mercy on all people. All people became sinners in Adam. All people were those who had to receive death and judgment as the wages of sin. But God pitied such people. He pitied the people who had no choice but to go to hell so much that he sent the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus took charge of all the sins of mankind by receiving baptism from John and received the judgment of those sins on the cross. And he lived again from among the dead. God gave this mercy to all people. Jesus did not bear only a certain person's sins. He bore the sins of the world. Jesus did not die only for a certain nation. He died for all mankind. Therefore, there is no unrighteousness with God. The problem is not that God did not bestow mercy, but whether a person believes that mercy or does not believe. It does not depend on the one who wills or the one who runs. The main text says, "So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy." Romans chapter 9, verse 16. Everyone wants to go to heaven, wants to obtain eternal life, wants to receive blessing. However, one does not receive salvation just because one wants it. Also, one does not receive salvation just because one runs. Running means human zeal. One does not receive salvation just because one does religious life diligently. Does fasting prayer, does early morning prayer, offers much money, and does much service. Such deeds may look great before people, but they cannot remove sin before God. Salvation is only of God who shows mercy. Because God pitied us, we received salvation. Because God removed our sins by the baptism Jesus received from John, the cross, and the resurrection, we received salvation. We only believed that mercy. Therefore, a saved person has nothing to boast of. One cannot say, "I received salvation because I believed diligently." One cannot say, "I received salvation because I am good." One must only say, "God pitied me. Jesus took charge of all my sins. I received salvation by believing that love." There are those who accept mercy and those who reject it. God bestowed mercy on all people. However, there are two kinds among people. One is a person who accepts that mercy, and the other is a person who rejects that mercy. Jacob shows a person who accepts mercy. He was lacking and weak, but he needed God's blessing. He held on to God's mercy. On the other hand, Esau believed his own strength. He relied more on his own ability and his own strength than the mercy God gives. It is the same today. A certain person hears the gospel of the water and the Spirit and confesses, God, I am truly a sinner. I need the Lord's mercy. I believe that Jesus took charge of my sins by the baptism he received from John and was judged on the cross. Such a person is a vessel of mercy. However, a certain person does not believe even if he hears the gospel. He thinks, I can live well by my own strength. I am sufficient with my religious zeal. I can go to God by my righteousness. Such a person is a person who rejects God's mercy. God's mercy was given impartially. However, only to the person who accepts that mercy does that mercy become his own. We must discard a hardened heart like Pharaoh. The main text also speaks about Pharaoh. God showed God's power through Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart, even after hearing God's word. Even while seeing many plagues, he did not submit to God. A person like Pharaoh does not lower his heart, even before God's mercy. Even if he hears the gospel, he does not believe. Even if God says that he removed all sins by Jesus, baptism, and cross, he insists on his own thoughts and his own doctrines. If a person rejects God's mercy, what remains is only wrath. If one rejects the word that Jesus took away the sins of the world, one must take charge of one's own sins oneself. If one rejects the word that Jesus received the judgment of sin on the cross, one must receive the judgment oneself. When God bestows mercy, one must believe. When the gospel is heard, one must accept it. One must not harden the heart, but must accept it with faith, saying, Lord, I need this mercy. God, who was the potter, made vessels of mercy. The main text speaks the parable of the potter and the vessel. The potter has the power over one lump of clay to make one vessel for honorable use and one vessel for dishonorable use. God is the creator. We are creatures. However, this word also does not mean that God made a person a vessel of wrath without any reason. A person who rejects it, even though God bestowed the mercy of Jesus Christ, becomes a vessel of wrath. Conversely, a person who believes God's mercy becomes a vessel of mercy. What kind of person is a vessel of mercy? It is a person who knows that he himself is originally one who will go to hell. It is a person who knows that he cannot become righteous by his own strength. It is a person who believes God's righteousness accomplished by Jesus, baptism, cross, and resurrection. God makes such a person know the riches of his glory. He calls a person who was originally not God's people as God's people. He calls the one who was not beloved as the beloved. He calls them sons of the living God. How great a grace is this! We are people who have become vessels of mercy. We were not originally God's people. The main text quotes the word of Hosea. I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, who was not beloved. Romans chapter 9, verse 25. We were not originally God's people. We were Gentiles. We're sinners. And were those who did not know God. A certain person served idols. A certain person believed his own strength. And a certain person lived following the philosophy and religion of the world. All of us were originally those who were outside God's mercy. But God came to find us. He met us through the Word. He made us hear the gospel of the water and the Spirit. He made us believe the gospel that Jesus took charge of my sins by the baptism he received from John and received the judgment of my sins on the cross. So we became God's people. We came to obtain the calling as sons of the living God. This is not a work done by our strength. It is a work done by God's mercy. We must not forget this grace. Even if our present life is weary and fleshly lacking, we are those who have received God's great mercy. God did not abandon us, but made us vessels of mercy. We must preach this gospel of mercy. The mercy we received was not given for only us to enjoy. The Gahuma. This gospel must be preached to the whole world. It must be preached to Jews also. And it must be preached to Gentiles also. It must be preached to religious people also. And it must be preached to people who say there is no God also. In the world, there are many people who deny God. There are many people who try to erase God with human science and knowledge. There are also many people who lower Jesus merely to a human and distort his baptism, cross, and resurrection. However, we must preach more clearly. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is God. He pitied us and came to this earth. He took charge of all our sins by the baptism he received from John the Baptist. He paid the price of our sins fully on the cross. And he resurrected and gave us new life. The one who believes this gospel receives God's mercy. The one who believes this gospel receives the removal of sin. The one who believes this gospel becomes God's people. We must preach this gospel by documents also. Preach by words also. And serve with our lives also. Let us believe and give thanks for the fair mercy. Beloved saints, God saved us with fair mercy. God bestowed the love of mercy on all people in Jesus Christ. Jesus took charge of all the sins of the world by baptism, received the judgment of all sins on the cross, and gave us new life by resurrection. Salvation is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs. It is only of God who shows mercy. We were not saved by our zeal or merit, but were saved by believing God's mercy. Therefore, we have nothing to boast of. We must boast only of God's mercy. We must boast only of Jesus, baptism, cross, and resurrection. We were originally not God's people, but now we have become God's people. We were those who were not beloved. But now we have received the calling as the beloved. We came to obtain the calling as sons of the living God. Let us give thanks for this grace. Let us not regard this mercy lightly. Let us not leave the church, but dwell in the Word, and live, holding on to the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God gave. And let us preach this gospel to the souls who do not yet know God's mercy. I hope that all of us, like vessels of mercy, will become saints who believe and give thanks for God's fair mercy, and preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit to the end. Amen.